Thank you, Elaine. Beautiful, beautiful songs. Very appropriate for this morning. I don't know if you listened close enough like me. I could almost hear Jim's voice. I think one of the things that I'll miss about Jim is hearing is he had a great singing. And I think the songs we can sing, especially from the Black Book now, are greatly limited. Because some of those tunes were hard, but Jim could sing them all. Beautiful voice, sincere voice. I agree with what Joe said earlier. You could, there was so much about Jim's voice that said so much about him. He had a gentle voice, yet he was bold. He had a profound voice, intellectual, but loving. And you could hear so much in his voice. And I think that was Christ in him. We talked about that the other day in that song, Then Face to Face. You know, when Jim spoke to us, he spoke of the things that were coming, the hope that we have of eternal life. But he would say, just as we say, we see through it a glass dimly now. We don't see the glory that will be revealed someday. But now Jim sees it. He is there face to face. What a glorious hope. I want to focus on some of that this morning. In fact, I meant to pull up, you'll forgive me, I have a little presentation. I forgot to pull it up ahead of time. So give me just a minute here, and I'll see if I can find it. We did basically a radio message memorial that aired this morning for Jim. And if y'all want to hear that, that'll be posted on the website, I think, soon. If it's not already, it'll be on there soon. And you can listen to that. I even learned, funny how you learn more things about a person after they pass, because you just look into them so much more. And Jim, some verses came to mind from John chapter 12. If you want to turn to John 12, and the title of the message is this morning is really in honor of Jim. It's going to be Fight the Good Fight. Fight the Good Fight is the title of the message. So I need to back, and I'll share my screen, and then we'll pray. I apologize for the delay. Okay. Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, you're not just some God out there who's far away, but you're close, and you care about our feelings, and you care about our hurts, and you care about our hearts and the heaviness that's there. And Lord, it's not just in some way we can't understand, but you became like us, and we know that even the shortest verse in the Bible reminds us that your son wept when Lazarus died. And Lord, so we're reminded that we have not a high priest that can't understand our suffering, but he was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Lord, we desire to honor you this morning. I pray that you put your words on my lips and help me, Lord, to speak forth your word. And the memories we have of Jim, Lord, we thank you for the many years and the great testimony he had, the great impact he had on our lives, setting an example for us to follow. And I pray that we would follow, that we wouldn't give up or lose heart, but that we would do what you would have for us to press on, and what Jim would want, what he did want for us to press forward in the faith. Lord, we pray that that would ignite, that Jim's life would really ignite even now, a new and fresh ministry and outreach here at Grace Chapel. Lord, so we commit these things to you, commit the message to you this morning. Each one that's on Zoom and who is here in person, pray that you would bless them and protect them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we were talking this morning, some verses came to mind from John chapter 12. Starting in verse 20, it says, Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast But they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." That's a good wish. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And Philip, as you hear, was an evangelist. Jim Hunt was an evangelist. And really, what evangelists do is very simple. They bring people to Jesus. That's what evangelists do. They lead those efforts. They bring people. They'll lead the efforts to bring people to Christ. We'll talk more about that gift here in a little while. So Andrew and Philip told Jesus, but Jesus answered them and saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Those verses came to mind. I think I had a number of conversations with Jim. I don't think I shared them with you, but one of the things I want to share with you this morning is a few things that were on his heart. And I was pleased to find last night the last message that he spoke here at Grace. I believe it was on June 21st of 2020. We have that recorded. And I hope it'll be perhaps on the website soon. We're talking about putting a memorial section on the website. I think we'll get that started right away, where you could get on there and listen to some of Jim's messages. Some I didn't even know we had recorded, but I listened to a message that what I believe was Jim's last message last night. I listened to it, and there's some special things, you know, the Lord knew, and I think he had a special message. But, you know, Jim mentioned when he gets discouraged in that message. He said, "I get discouraged when it's only the same two or three guys sharing." His heart was that more would come, that more would share, that there would be growth, that there would be this expansion in the church of more and more people stepping up, not just men, but women too, in the ministry that God has called them to. And Jim shared that with me more recently, how encouraged he was to see more men stepping up on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings to hear new voices. This is what he wanted. This is what he wanted. He wanted what he started, bear more fruit, that more would come in. And so I think he would urge all of us to fight the good fight. Each one of you in here, men and women, each one of you, even you kids, has spiritual gifts. If you're spiritually minded, if you have a desire to seek after the Lord, God has given you spiritual gifts that are to be used to edify the saints, to build up the church. And I want to go over some of those this morning. My dad touched on them last week, and I think it was it's been on my heart. And I was thinking about why they're called gifts. Why is a spiritual gift called a gift? It's not like a talent. He didn't call them spiritual talents. Even though it may come out that certain people are talented at certain things, but they're called gifts because God gives them. It's a special package. It's like a present. It says, "Mike, here. Jesus to you." Mike opens it and he's like, "Hey, Mike, you're going to have a heart for the lost. My spirit's giving that to you. You're going to have an evangelistic mentality as a gift." That's not something Mike conjured up. That's something the Holy Spirit gave him. It's a gift. administration or gift. And we'll go over some of these. Prophecy, gift, teaching, gift, the gift. So I want to go through some of these, but let me see if I can advance this. The theme verse where I got that title is from Timothy. Whoops, skip it ahead. I know you all saw that picture, Jim. Fight the good fight of faith. If Jim were here, this is what he would urge you to do. Run with endurance. It's not going to get easier, by the way. If you focus on the world at all, or country, or whatever else, things are falling apart and spiraling pretty quickly. And it's always going to be, when you look at it through spiritual lenses of the word, it's going to be a conspiracy of Satan to persecute. And that'll be ushered in. And it's interesting, you would think he would learn over the last several thousand years that persecution seems to only ignite fires for the Lord. But he hasn't learned that. He hates the people of God. But that's coming. We're going to see it assuredly in the next few years, almost unless God has mercy and changes something. We're going to see it here in the United States. More and more persecution against the people of God. It's already beginning. It's already beginning. Who would have thought just a year ago that they would outlaw singing in church in California? Now, that's nothing, really, as far as persecution goes. I mean, Chinese persecuted Christians would laugh at us. If you think that's persecution, wait till they come to your church with a bulldozer while you're meeting and bulldoze it down with the people in it. Thousands of churches in China have gone down that way in the last few years. People buried in the rubble, they don't care. The government sanctions them. But what's the healthiest church in the world right now? From all reports we're getting, it's the church in China. Definitely not the United States. Very little interest. So fight the good fight of faith. Jim did. Jim wasn't afraid. The pandemic came, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid at all. It was one of the ways he led. He wasn't afraid. He would say, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Jim did that. The presence of many witnesses. Here he is. Jim told me about this. Jim caught this fish about 2 years ago. This wasn't an old picture. Up at camp, he was using a fly rod up at the lake, and he put a worm on there in the inlet. Shouldn't tell you how he did it because that's going to be my secret. But I've already tried to duplicate what he did, and I couldn't. I had no success. Jim caught this, a 20-inch rainbow. He called it a rainbow, but I think it might have been a Gila trout, which have those rainbows on them. Native New Mexican trout there. Incredible fish. Jim went down to the lake and caught one. And Jim told me a couple of times, he said, one of the times when he was in the hospital and I went and visited him there, we were talking to him, he said, I think God still has a plan for my life. And he was discouraged, but he said that God absolutely did have a plan, still had a plan for him. And he still does, even now. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it said, Abel, through his sacrifice, though he's dead, yet he still speaks. He still does have a plan for Jim's life. And I want to share with that. I know what Jim's heart was. He told me what his heart was many times. He wanted to see a revival, and especially here in Grace Chapel, wanted to see a revival. So this fish, I think, was symbolic. He says, Jesus said to them from Matthew 4, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Then they immediately left their nets and followed him. I like, you know, it would be like You know, how quick would you be if Jesus said, just leave your job, follow me into the unknown? Just quit and go. That's what these guys did. Now, he called some people and they wouldn't go. They went away sad. They weren't willing to let go. But these disciples, what really made them disciples, people like Philip, who had like Andrew, who were bringing people to Jesus, they had just left. Like Peter, their nets were their income. That's their livelihood. That's how they made a living. They left it immediately. Walk away from your boats. I don't know what's going to happen to my boat. You're like leaving your, you got a nice new truck for your job. You're a painter or you're a construction guy or you're whatever it is you do and you have a new truck. Just leave it behind. Jesus said, come and follow me. Don't take your truck. You don't need your boat. Don't take your nets. You don't need your tools. Follow me. And they did. And I think Jim, especially if you know you go into his house and you look at things, you see where he and Evelyn's heart were. It was with the Lord's stuff. Everything's related to the Lord's stuff. They weren't holding on to the things of this world. At least not anything that really meant much to them. What meant much to them were things of the Lord. Notes, piles of notes. Alan said, I don't know what I'm going to do with all the piles of notes. Even from this year. Stacks of notes that Jim took from other people speaking. Take notes. Mentioned at the conference. Jim went to a creation conference by himself. We found him there because we went there. And he would sit there and take notes. And he would, and lots of notes. And he was surprised, as he probably should have been, that I wasn't. I was cheating and taking pictures of the screen, you know, with my camera. But so there's Jim with his fish. Now, I know that Jim desired that we exercise our spiritual gifts and not grudgingly, but he wanted us to do this with joy because that's what God wants. And Jim was very close to me. So here's a list of many of the gifts listed in scripture that I tried to write down. Serving, evangelists, prophets, administration, teaching, discernment, giving, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, tongues, wisdom, miracles, exhortation, faith, the overseer, helps, and interpreting tongue. Those are some. And here's a list of the scriptures where you can go. You'll see them there in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. You'll see them in Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4, where you can find some of these. And I wanted to go through some of them with you. And I really want to challenge you. I think all of us really want to do some things to honor Jim. And I think that's really good. And I've heard some really good ideas. We want to do a memorial on the website, and maybe do some things here that really memorialize, because he really was founder here. But you know what? He would really want more than that. He would want to memorialize him. He would want you to embrace your spiritual gifts and go all in. That's what he would want. Far more than his picture on the wall or anything else. Even though we want to do that and we should do that. He would want us to seek the Lord and follow him and rise up. Now, some of these gifts, let's say they're, you know, the gift of administration is a gift. Again, it's a gift, something God has given people. They have a special talent for it. If you have the gift of administration, you might have the ability to help steer the church or ministry in the church, successful of God-given goals, skills and planning, organization and supervision. You tend to have these things and you're interested and they just tend to come naturally to you. That may be a gift that God has given you. Discernment is a gift. And this is a very important gift at this time. The gift of discernment. It's the wisdom to recognize truth from untruth. by correctly evaluating whether a behavior or teaching is from God or another ungodly source. That's very important. There's a lot of false teaching out there. And perhaps one of the most abused gifts is the gift of teaching. False teachers are usually narcissists, and they, you know, and that's where they want to be. They want to be in front of everyone, and they will deceive people. It's very important. This isn't many times the gift of discernment will come from, should come from the listeners, the sheep, and you should always be weighing what we're saying against the Word of God. Always. Don't just believe something because the guy at the pulpit is saying it. We should be like the Bereans, searching the scriptures daily to prove whether these things are true or not. And we've got to level the doctrine you hear from the scripture. And I know this was very important to Jim. And Jim's brother was perhaps had one of the greatest gifts of discernment in modern time. And he was world renowned for that. Dave Hunt. He had a ministry called the Berean Call. And I think I told you all before, but I knew Dave before I knew Jim, and mainly through his ministry. Although I had met him, I mainly knew him through his ministry. He had a radio program, he had a website, and I often used it to help discern things. I didn't even know he had a brother. And but Jim had that gift as well. But Dave's brother, he would look at things very carefully, be like, you know, look at this doctrine, whether it's something like Calvinism that'll come into church and split it. You want to learn about that, got a book at home that Dave Hunt wrote. It's about that thick. And it's on Calvinism. And there's some warnings against it. Don't let that come in. Don't let these doctrines come in and split the church. That gift. He had a gift for that. He helped a lot of people. He was a speaker at big conferences, and he would identify some of the false teachers of the time and warn the churches, be careful. You're seeing this guy on TV. He's not a true teacher. He's false. The gift of discernment, of evangelism. I've told Mike this before, but he's got that gift. He's got, it's on his heart. He's got a desire for it. And that's not just sharing your faith with somebody. That's not the gift of evangelism, because every Christian's called to do that. We're all called to share our faith with unbelievers. That's not a gift. That's just a duty. Okay. And certainly an evangelist will be very skilled at this, perhaps more than others. But an evangelist is going to be one that's really exhorting others. Get out there and do it, and it might be combined with the gift of administration or exhortation, saying this is, we need to do this. There's the Holy Spirit's put an urgency in my heart to share the gospel with the lost, and I want to organize outreach efforts. So then that's going to come out in the gift of evangelism, and they may be used in very special ways. Have very unique experiences when they're sharing their faith. Philip the evangelist had unique experiences. He'd be going along, and all of a sudden there's this Ethiopian guy reading through Isaiah 53, and he doesn't understand what he's reading. And Philip, the Lord just brings Philip there and says, here, tell him what he's reading. And Philip tells him what he's reading. The guy gets saved. He baptizes him on the spot, and the Lord just translates him somewhere else. Philip the evangelist. Now, Philip had four daughters, and his daughters had the gift of prophecy. And we'll talk about that a little bit. I'm much more one who just takes things on face value. I want to try to explain away these gifts. One of the things about the gifts, some of them are hard to understand and explain, but I can assure you that if we decide a gift no longer applies, it has no place, then our unbelief will be portrayed in the fact that the Lord will not bless it and will probably never see it. There's the scripture there in John, earlier in John, says Jesus could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So if we find unbiblical doctrinal ways through some sort of theological, system that we've heard to try to explain away some of these gifts, it's very likely we'll never see them, and it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't believe that the gift of prophecy or of healings or of tongues is anymore. Well, yeah, and you probably won't see them happen. I don't believe we have so much teaching on these gifts that they don't exist anymore. We have to use a lot of discernment, though, to understand what these really mean and how they might apply to us in our time. And I don't claim to understand that completely. But I do take a simple approach to the word, what it says. And it talks a lot about these gifts, so we need to believe that there's a place for them. Exhortation, as I mentioned before, it's going to be a gift, the competence in offering encouragement, supporting others, comforting others, or to help someone who needs to hear these things. You may see a brother, gift of exhortation. You're going to have a kind of the ability to see the need in someone else and be like, you know what, I need to urge them on. Or maybe they're slipping and you're going to exhort them. Or maybe you're like seeing a deadening and, you know, we haven't done anything, any evangelistic outreaches in a long time. And you have this word of exhortation as Mike has done for us before. Let's get out there and share the gospel with the lost. That's an exhortation and it just flows out. Yeah. Faith is an interesting one. Faith is actually a gift. Now, it doesn't mean that those who don't have the gift of faith don't have faith. That's not what it means. But there's some people that just have this abundance of faith that shows itself above and beyond the norm. People with this gift have such great confidence in the power and promises of God that they can stand strong in their belief, even through difficult times. Okay. And I think I honestly would say, I don't think I have this gift. I think I struggle with it. And by the way, I want to mention, if there's a gift that you know, like on this one, I failed in this area. You know, the dark times have come and I know what I'm supposed to do, but then I'm like, why am I doubting? Why am I so full of doubt? Why would I doubt God's promises? And I remind myself over and over again. And then I see other people going through far worse things than me, and they're filled with joy and confidence in the Lord. They have that gift of faith. No matter what tries to shake them, they can't. They can also stand up for the church and for their faith in such a way as to defend it moving forward. So the gift of faith. So we can ask the Lord to give us these gifts. Lord, I want the gift of faith. I don't believe I have enough faith. I want more. Help me. And Jim would say, well, get into the word more. George Mueller, I want to share some thoughts on some of this. But he would say over and over again, get into the word more. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Faith is very important, and it's going to become more and more important. The gift of giving. This is one, and it may go hand in hand with hospitality, although they're not exactly the same thing. But those who really just, you know, somebody needs a car, here, take my car, I'll walk. You know, it's kind of that mentality. They're just willing to give whatever they have, whenever they see a need. And God supplies that more and more. They're particularly willing. Now, it's pretty easy to, when we talk about hospitality, it's easy to tell those that really don't have the gift of hospitality because it's kind of like, it's an inconvenience when they put up with, you know, hosting people, but they don't really want it, but they might have gifts in other areas. Then those who have the gift really want, they're constantly, hey, come over, share my stuff, those kind of things. That's a gift. It's something God gives. He wants it. It's very important to have that gift of hospitality. Just, you know, Jesus said, and this is kind of along those lines, if somebody asks you for your coat, you know, give them two. Don't just give them one. If they, you know, if they ask, if anybody asks, give. Say, be hospitable. The gift of healing. These are people that are particularly prone to have this great faith for God to restore others, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. They'll be like, I know, and this may go hand in hand with the gift of faith, but it takes great faith to do this. Remember, one time, we just had a friend that was so full of this kind of faith. He knew God could heal. He had no doubts there. And Cindy had been pretty sick for about 2 years. I remember all our kids were there and everything. And he came over, and we had had others pray for us before, but just seemed ineffective. And he came over, and he was just filled with the Spirit. And he said, do you have any mustard seeds? Go get me a mustard seed. And a little tiny, tiny seed. And he put it in his hand, and he said, Amara, come here. He showed Amara. He said, you see that? See that? That's all you need. You just need to believe that much. And he said, now come over here. And he asked us, put our hands on Cindy, and he prayed. She was healed. Don't think that gift's gone. God can heal people right now if he chooses to. You believe it? If you don't believe it, you won't see it. He won't always do it. But he's definitely not going to do it if we take that mustard seed and just go like that and throw it aside. Now, God doesn't work that way anymore. It's not true. He does. If you ever want some interesting stories, talk to Tim Gamble sometimes about some of the things you've seen happen in Juarez and in Mexico. Incredible things that happen. There's a gift. There's a gift there, and some people have it. If you want it, ask it. Helps. Gift of helps. I love that term, helps. Just simple. These people are willing to put aside what they need to get done to go help somebody else with what they need to get done. Because they see the things that need to get done and they go and do it. Jason wouldn't want me to say this, but he's got that gift. Because, you know, one of the things he's asked me not to do that, so I won't go too far with it. But he definitely does. And other people here do as well. But he sees the innate ability to be like, oh, you guys need a calendar, practice, whatever it is, and he'll take care of it. It's done. Mike has that gift. So many things the Bredingers do, we don't even realize for the chapel. You know, they're here a lot. They check on things. If somebody leaves the door unlocked, they lock. They take care. We leave the heater on. They'll find it. They'll take care of that stuff. They get things fixed. The water heater broke and it leaked out all over. You know who was here late on a Saturday night taking care of business? Bredingers. It's a neat gift, and it's very needed. Leadership. Mercy is a gift. I was asking the Lord recently. That gift of mercy. These people just, you know, we all have faults. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's a gift we want to have. It's easy to find faults in others, but it's not so easy to overlook those faults and to be merciful. Like, this is a child of God, and I'm going to treat him that way. Gift of mercy. Prophecy. Now, I do believe that there are some people that God has gifted with the innate ability. This isn't just, I don't believe this is just speaking forth the word of God, because that's teaching. That's a gift of teaching. The gift of prophecy would be the innate ability to discern things that are coming and that are going to happen. Now, you have to be really, this is probably one of the most abused gifts in our time. And it's kind of funny. A lot of these false prophets make it very obvious that they're false, because they'll prophesy in the name of the Lord about obvious things that just didn't happen. A bunch of them expose themselves, President Trump, and their prophecies about him and about COVID and other things. I've talked about that before. But God will give the gift of prophecy to some, and they probably aren't even going to know they have it, but it'll be there. You should look for it. That gift of serving. of speaking in tongues. And really the speaking in tongues was the ability to communicate, you know, in to someone who didn't speak their your language. And there was other aspects to it as well. This was happening in the New Testament. It was a sign to unbelievers that the Lord is really here. Maybe I have a dialect that's really hard to understand. I walk into everybody, I speak, you know, Greek, but I walk into this group of believers in a synagogue in the New Testament, wherever it was, and they're all speaking Hebrew, and all of a sudden I understand it. Or somebody is talking to me, they're talking to me in my own language, my own, even my own dialect. And I've heard of things like this happening today. This is not a bunch of people out of control, gibberish, things that can't be understood with no translators rolling around on the floor. Not that. Okay. I can prove that. In the scripture, I can prove it to that. I don't have time now. But these gifts, which gifts do you have? You know, if you're really seeking after the Lord, you all have some of these gifts. Not just one. You might have one, but you could have more. Seek the Lord for these gifts and then serve the Lord with gladness. Be glad he's given you these gifts. If we complain about the gifts he's given us, he may take them away. He gives and he can take back. And I've seen that happen. I saw a guy with the gift of evangelism, one of the greatest evangelists I've ever known. And he fell into sin and began to despise his gift when he should have been out leading. He was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. And God took that gift away, and it was so clear. It's like, wow, all the power he had is gone. God gave and God took away. And if we despise the gifts he's given us, or if we complain about him, God hates complaining. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, I want to talk about a bit more about the gift of faith. Now, George Mueller had the gift of faith and miracles. Miracles happening. Ran an orphanage. I told the story before in another message. I won't talk too much about him, but he ran an orphanage and he saw, and he would write down everything. And so he wrote down 50, he wrote down over 50,000 prayers that were answered. And he said 30,000 of them were answered within 24. And so here's what he said. People would always, and people were seeing it. This was really, really obvious miracles happening that God was just blessing him constantly. And people would come to him all the time and they would say, how do you get this great faith? What's the secret? What's the secret? So I wanted to share with you what he said about that. You can listen to this. This is from his writing. I had to transcribe this from somebody reading his writings, because I couldn't, you know, this is in his writing somewhere. And I've been listening to people read the things that he wrote. To the question, what is faith? I answer in the simplest manner. Faith is the assurance that what God has said in his word is true, and that he will act according to what he has said in his word. This assurance, this reliance on God's word, this confidence is faith. I'm going to try to move this so I can see the quotes. Maybe I can minimize it. Sorry. Okay, better. This assurance, this reliance on God's word, this confidence is faith. Viewing the matter negatively, we may say that faith is not a matter of impression, nor of probabilities, nor of appearances. Impressions come from human reasoning, which at best are untrustworthy. Faith, on the other hand, is based on the impregnable word of God. It is upon his written word that faith safely relies. Again, probabilities do not constitute faith. That's an important one. Start thinking about that. Many people are willing to believe regarding the things that seem to them to be probable. The providence of faith begins or probabilities, and the sight and sense fail. Further, appearances are not to be confused with faith. A great many of God's children are cast down because they observe no evidence of the fulfillment of that which they wish would come to pass. The question, rather, is this: has God spoken at his word concerning this matter? If he has, that is ground for faith. It is because there is so much dependency upon impressions, probabilities, appearances, and similar unimportant issues that we have so little blessing among us. All these things must be abandoned. The naked word of God is what we are to depend on. That is enough for us. Isn't that awesome? When you read through Hebrews 11, when you look at the life of the prophets and the saints and the believers, they would go into circumstances where the probability of success seemed like zero. What's the probability that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could walk into a burning furnace and come out alive? Zero, according to the laws of man. But did they do it anyway? Yes, and they did that by faith in the reliance on the word of God. Like, even if I die, I will not disobey the Lord. Many of the churches are falling and closing down in the United States because of reliance on probabilities. We look at probabilities and we get afraid. We say, well, what's the probability of we get together that I might get saved, whatever it is? We rely on these probabilities. What's the probability if I go into Juarez with my brother Jorge that something might happen to me, right? Is God calling me to go there with him, to bring the gospel? What's the probability? And we look at these probabilities and we leave faith behind. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have common sense. I'm not saying that we should go, stop washing our hands before we eat. We're relying on probabilities of whatever the probabilities of getting bad bacteria in our food. I'm not saying that we should do that. I'm not saying you should stop wearing masks or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But if we stop obeying God because of probabilities, because we're afraid, you can be assured that that's not faith. If George Mueller is accurate, what he's saying. So, Jim wasn't worried about these things. He was, Jim reminded me a little bit of Peter, and he would just step out on the water. He was that kind of a guy. He had that book. He was so gentle, so loving, so careful. Very bold. He was very bold in his faith. He wasn't afraid. God had taken away fear from him. The society of fear, the land of the free and the home of the brave, I'm afraid, is gone. Except for those who exercise faith. God would make us brave. Let's be brave by the Spirit. Let's not fall into the fear-mongering of this world. In as much as it causes us to stop obeying the Lord. Now, that's going to get more and more challenging as time goes on. The world's going to want us to bow the knee to its system, just as it always have. It has. It's nothing new. It's going to demand that we pinch incense to Caesar and say Caesar is Lord, whatever way that shows itself. Government is Lord. The government's taking over everything now. Pretty soon they're going to demand your allegiance to an ungodly, idolatrous philosophy that's coming very quickly. And we're going to have to stand and say no by faith. No. Could it cost us our lives down the road? Yes, it could. But by faith, we follow to the end. We aren't playing church. Those who play church will out their needs in the world. This is the reality of faith, and to grow in faith, as George Mueller says, we must rely on the word. We can't try to interpret things out of it. What does it say? What does it plainly say? I'm going to read that. I'm going to reject the philosophies of men, and I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to look to a city whose builder and maker is God. Let us link arms and join. What can you do now? What is your gift? Seek it out. Whatever God has given you, live it out. Let's live it out together. He's doing something mighty here. Grace Chapel, and he's and it's really neat to see it. You can feel it happening. The Lord is moving here. And Jim was very happy about these things, and Jim began to see it. He was happy, and he expressed a lot of joy to me about the things that he was seeing, and other people starting to come up and stuff out. It was really exciting. That's what he would want. So if we really want to honor him, that's the way to do it. We want to honor the Lord above all. That's the way to do it. Let's close. Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. As our brother George Mueller said in 150 years ago, Lord, you never let him down. He walked by faith. Faith is the reliance that the promises of God's word are true. We believe your word, Lord. Help us to believe more. Help our unbelief. Give us the gift of faith, Lord. Give us the spiritual gifts that you have for us. Help us to embrace these things, not to try to explain them away or do things because we're stuck in a tradition. Lord, let us step forward boldly out onto the water. Come to you. Keep our eyes on you, not to look at the wind and the waves. And when we do sink, Lord, that we would never think that you've left us or forsaken us, but knowing that when we call on you, you reach your hand down and you pull us back. That's the kind of Lord we have. The Lord Jesus Christ displayed all of these gifts in every way, perfectly, and his desire is that the body of Christ in the world today would manifest these gifts universally, the church of God, that you would find faith on the earth when you come back, Lord. That haunting question that you asked, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? Lord, we want you to find faith. And I know that I will be the first to admit I failed more than anyone. Thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord, to press on. Hold us. Strengthen us, we pray. I'm going to pray for special prayer for the family of the Hans, Lord, and for Evelyn. You strengthen her, bless her, and put your arms around the family and bless the events in the next week or two that take place, and Lord, that you bless Grace Chapel. Also, a special prayer for Southwest Bible Camp, Jake Porter's out there in the board, and those who need to make decisions about what happens this year there. We ask you for wisdom with them as well. We ask you blessings for this day, pressing forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, everyone.